From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Friday. That's right, TGIF, July 15th, 2016. We've got a great hour in store for all of our listeners out there. On today's show, we will be chatting about, of course, the Draymond Green case. New revelations concerning his pre-trial conference. That date has been moved up. We'll give you an update on that story. Also, the great Isaiah Thomas, one of the greatest guards to ever play the game. He donned the red, white, and royal blue jersey for the Detroit Pistons, led them to back-to-back NBA championships in the late 80s, early 90s. Isaiah Thomas ripped Ben Simmons for not taking part in the NBA Summer League. Now, Simmons has played, but he decided to take some time off due to rest. So we'll chat about that. Also, if you missed Current Sports TV last night and you missed my sit-down with Lou Rawls, Tum Tum Naren Jr., junior guard for the Michigan State men's basketball team, and, of course, leader. He's been a leader for that team now for the past 2 years. We will play that interview right here on our airwaves. You don't want to miss that. On the back end of the show, we will talk about the British Open. How about that round one for Phil Mickelson? And we'll reflect a bit, as we do each and every Friday with Reflection Friday. Call in to be a part of today's show, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, folks, before we get to Draymond Green, we have some breaking news. It's being reported right now that Tom Brady, who's a quarterback of the New England Patriots, Brady is going to accept the four-game suspension and not appeal to the Supreme Court. Really no surprise from my end when it comes to that story. We'll have more details concerning Tom Brady deciding not to accept appeal to the Supreme Court. We'll give you an update on that story later on in the hour. But right now, breaking news, Tom Brady will accept the four-game suspension. You will not see him on the field for the first 4 weeks of the NFL year. All right, and more news on the Draymond Green incident. It was announced yesterday that the judge had granted a request to hold Green's pretrial conference next week before he leaves for the Olympics in Rio de Janeiro. Now, Green is accused of slapping former Michigan State cornerback Jermaine Edmondson and was charged on Monday with misdemeanor assault or assault and battery. Now, he waived arraignment in 54B District Court here in East Lansing. A pretrial conference was originally set for August 4th, but on Wednesday, his legal team requested the date change because Green would be out of the country and it would be difficult to communicate between the court and his lawyers. Quote, publicity surrounding the arrest may affect his performance in the games, end quote. That's what was stated on the request. We'll have more on that story in just a minute. All right, the Detroit Tigers begin the second half of the season today, starting with a three-game series against the defending World Series champs, Kansas City Royals. The Tigers, who finished the first half with a record of 46-43, are 6.5 games in back of the division and 4 games out of a wild card bid. Justin Verlander will start tonight. Mike Pelfrey will start on Saturday, and rookie sensation Michael Fulmer will get the nod on Sunday. The game starts at 7:10 p.m. tonight and can be viewed on Fox Sports Detroit. Yesterday, the Toledo Blades' John Wagner was the first to report that outfielder Tyler Collins has been called up by the Tigers. The move was a result of the Tigers placing outfielder Justin Upton on the bereavement list earlier in the day. Now, a player placed on the list must be out a minimum of 3 games, according to Major League Baseball rules. Now, players are granted leaves of 3 to 7 games in order to attend a death or illness of a family member. Collins has had two stints with the Tigers this season, one of which resulted in a middle finger to the crowd after they booed his misplaying of a fly ball and a demotion soon after. The Detroit Pistons have signed second-round draft pick Michael Benajay, who was selected 49th overall, to a three-year rookie deal. He had a solid outing in his one game for the Pistons summer league team with 10 points, 7 boards, and 5 assists, but he suffered a sprained ankle in practice the following day and sat for the final 4 games. The Detroit Lions cheerleaders began their training camp this week. Most of the 28 finalists work at jobs during the day before they train about 3 nights a week during camp. Now, besides learning routines, the cheerleaders must also have a clear understanding of the organization and know how to conduct themselves during games and at promotional events. This is coming from head coach Rebecca Smoker. Quote, "There's training on how they dance, how they speak, their impressions, how they host an event, just how they interact with all the fans. The goal is to just make sure they are ready for the job in a way that they are not feeling unconfident," end quote. Former Detroit Piston great Isaiah Thomas commented on Philadelphia 76ers first round pick Ben Simmons, as he didn't play in their fourth summer league game on Wednesday. Now, Thomas, who was on NBA TV, questioned whether or not Simmons needed rest during summer league and said the Australian forward from LSU should be looking to earn his money out there, since they only play in about 8 summer league games. Now, Simmons played in 2 of the Sixers' 3 games in the Utah Summer League and had played in all 3 of the games in Vegas prior to his rest on Wednesday. Now, the game he missed in Utah was due to cramps he had in both calves on the second game in 2 days. Phil Mickelson was lights out in round 1 of the British Open. Get this, dude shot a 63. And he came ridiculously close to draining a birdie putt on the 18th to shoot a 62, which would have been the lowest round ever recorded in a major. He settled instead for a 63, becoming the 26th player to go that low on the grand stage. Mickelson said of the final putt, quote, "It's such a rare opportunity to do something historic like that. If I had just hit a weak flail off and never had a chance and left it short, so be it. But this ball was hunting right in the center and didn't go. It was just heartbreaking," end quote. Now, the 46-year-old is in the clubhouse with a 3-shot lead in the Open Championship and is in hot pursuit of his 6th major and 2nd claret jug. And last but not least, sad news, of course, out in France yesterday in Nice. The Tour de France is set to proceed despite the terror attack that took place yesterday. France was reeling again after a large truck mowed through a crowd of revelers gathered for a Bastille Day fireworks display in the Riviera city of Nice, killing at least 84 people on Thursday night. The attack on France's national holiday followed attacks in November in Paris that killed 130 people. Reinforced security was in plain sight as fans still turned out for the famous race, showing up in numbers at the starting line in the small town of Bourg-Saint-Andéol. Hearts and prayers go out to Nice. That wraps up your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. Our phone lines are open if you want to be a part of today's show. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, and you can even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR or tweet the show. That's right, we have our Current Sports Twitter page up and in live and full effect. You can tweet us at WKAR_sports. So much to get to, so little time. Let's start the show. We'll be right back.
bunker shot here on 16. That was a tough one, folks, and he puts it pretty close, goes on to make birdie there. And the magic continues for Phil as he hits to 17. A nice birdie look for him. That one drops. He needs a birdie on 18 to finish with a 62, which would be the lowest score in major championship history. Can he do it? Pretty long birdie putt for him there. And it lifts out. The golf gods didn't give it to Phil today. He finished with a 63.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome, 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 ladies and gents, boys and girls. Again, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We are so honored that you've allowed Current Sports to close out your week. I can't believe it's already Friday. This week just flew by. And before we talk about Lefty's incredible first round at the British Open again, as you just heard in our quick hit headliners, oh boy, I feel like every other week we're talking about yet another heinous tragedy in our world. Another incident yet in France, this time out in Nice, as 84 people at least were killed due to a large truck that mowed through a crowd at Bastille Day fireworks display. I couldn't believe it, folks. I was actually at the Moneyball Summer League Pro-Am. I just wanted to catch Miles Bridges play. I watched a bit of the ladies kicked it off yesterday in game one, which started at 5:30. And then at 6:30, that's when Miles Bridges, his team, of course, Miles, the stout incoming freshman forward for Tom Izzo and the Michigan State men's basketball team. I mean, this week, getting a chance to see him twice, I mean, it's truly been a treat. And I love it because it's free. You know, you go there and the fans, you know, since it's free, all these fans pack the gym. And it's amazing when I watch, you know, what took place after the ladies game, all of a sudden you just see this wave of people coming to the gym to see Miles. But while I was there, I was sitting next to Rico Beard, formerly of Detroit Sports 105.1. He's actually in town this week. Doing some radio duties himself, and Rico, a good friend of mine, we were sitting there watching Miles, and all of a sudden, Rico turns to me and says, Al, have you looked on Twitter as of late? And I said, no, I was watching the game, and I was actually live streaming a bit of the game on Facebook Live, on my Facebook page. I said, no, I haven't been on Twitter. What's going on Twitter? And he says, there's this hashtag nice going on. And I'm sitting there saying, hashtag nice, what is that about? And he says, I don't know, but everyone's talking about it. So he goes online and he does some research and finds that it's not nice, of course, not the English pronunciation of just the word nice, but no, it's Nice, the French city that was attacked by just a heinous act, And, you know, I immediately said, oh, my goodness, you have to be kidding me. And then my phone started blowing up And I saw on GroupMe, my fraternity brothers, they were all talking about it. So before we move on here, again, our hearts and prayers go out to that city, and our hearts and prayers go out to everyone in this world that has been going through whatever you've been going through, because we are living in some tough times right now, folks. And again, I feel like every other day, every other week, every other moment, I'm turning on my TV or looking at my phone, I'm seeing something that just turns my stomach. So, you know, tomorrow's never promised. You know, tell someone that you love them today, because we just never know. We live in a crazy world today. So hearts and prayers go out to Nice out in France, folks. All right, Phil Mickelson. I mean, my goodness. You talk about, you know, a player who has been so consistent throughout much of his career. And we're talking about a guy who is 46 years old. 46 years old. And he goes out there and shoots a 63 in the first round of the British Open. Heck, again, folks, he came like an inch away, a lip out away of setting the major record of 62. I had to do a double take when I saw the highlights, folks. I mean, I've watched him probably about six times now, but it is absolutely remarkable what Lefty has been able to do, you know, in this tourney right now. And right now, to give you guys a score update, Phil Mickelson leads the pack at 10 under par. He finished up today. He shot a 69 for round two. That's two under on the day. And, you know, he still leads the pack right now. It's really remarkable when you evaluate the career of Phil Mickelson, because for a long time, it was back and forth between Phil and Tiger. And we all know that Tiger has not won a major championship dating back to like 2009, okay? And, you know, it's been unsettling to watch just his career just go down the tubes. And I'm really hoping that Tiger makes a comeback. Will he ever break the Jack Nicklaus record? No, that's not happening. But, you know, man, at least we still got one guy, you know, from the era when I was growing up, when I really started to get into golf, one guy who's still killing the game, and that's Phil Mickelson. And, again, no player has ever shot a 62 in a major championship, and I couldn't believe that Phil came that close yet again. And he was beating himself up about it after his round was finished and the reporters came and started drilling him with questions. And, you know, three-time Open champion Jack Nicklaus praised Mickelson's effort and recalled his own bid at 62, if you remember, in the 1980 U.S. Open. This is what Nicklaus had to say. Quote, I watched some of Phil's round the day, and every time I turned around, he holed a putt. To play Royal Troon with no bogeys is a great round of golf. Well done, Phil. I almost hate to remind myself of this, but I missed a putt of just a couple feet at Balstarol, if you remember back in 1980, to miss out on 62. In your case, Phil, you made a beautiful read and putt on that last hole, but you got absolutely stone cold robbed. Yeah, the golf guys were not in favor of Phil on the 18th hole. But his 63, again, is the 28th in major championship history, and the ninth at the Open. The last was actually by Rory McIlroy in 2010 at St. Andrews. So Phil is a five-time major champ, and he missed the cut at the Masters and the U.S. Open this year. That's why this is so surprising to me, because Phil hasn't been playing lights-out golf as of recently. And then he just goes out there and just casually puts up a 63 in a major. So I'm rooting for you, Phil. I'm rooting for you, my man. Right now, Phil, again, he's in the lead right now as he finished up round two. He sits at 10 under par. Then you have Henrik Stenson, who is at 9 under par. And then the rest of the pack is at least three shots in back of those guys. So, Phil Mickelson, what a show. It was really fun to watch yesterday. And I will be glued to my television just like I am in every major, despite the fact that my favorite golfer of all time, Tiger Woods, is still not playing. I feel like every time I talk about golf, I have to bring up Tiger just because I was such a big Tiger Woods fan. I'm slowly but surely getting over it, but it's still tough, okay? I need some therapy for it, all right? Phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Later on in this hour, if you missed last night's Current Sports TV sit-down with the leader of the Michigan State men's basketball team, Lou Rawls, Tum Tum Naren Jr., you will get to hear that in about 10 minutes, so keep it locked right here. In the meantime, I want to move to, now, of course, a story concerning the number one overall draft pick in this year's NBA draft, as the Philadelphia 76ers selected Ben Simmons from LSU. Now, the reason I'm bringing this story to you all, because it has a local feel to it, seeing as though former Detroit Pistons great, who is now a commentator for NBA TV, Isaiah Thomas, decided to actually drill into this young kid. Thomas went off. First, you know, he sent out a tweet, and then, you know, he comes on the air and just rips Simmons for standing around with his smartphone, taking selfies with fans with their smartphones, and signing autographs. Isaiah Thomas went on to say, quote, he's a young player. He should be playing tonight. You know, you've got people coming into the building. They want to watch him play. He's a rookie. And taking selfies and signing autographs. I mean, you're 19. Earn your money. Get out on the floor. Perform and play. Don't start developing bad habits right now. You've played maybe, what, 8 games in the summer? How can you take a day off for rest? End quote. That's what NBA Hall of Famer and Detroit Piston former great Isaiah Thomas had to say concerning Ben Simmons deciding to rest instead of play in the NBA Summer League. Well, this is a really, I think I'm in the majority with this opinion. Isaiah, it's the NBA Summer League. This isn't a game we're talking about here, folks. This isn't, the regular season here, you know? It's the Summer League. This is where you go out and basically work on your game.
We're talking about
right.
Practice.
Thank you, AI. You know, we're talking about practice here. This is basically practice. Thank you, Isaac. I mean, this is not a regular season game. This isn't the playoffs here. And we're not just talking about any other player. This is the number one overall draft pick in this year's NBA draft in Ben Simmons. And it's remarkable because I had to ask this question to Miles Bridges earlier this week concerning the Moneyball Pro-Am Summer League. And I asked Miles, I mean, you know, whether or not, you know, he feels as though, you know, that when you go out there, are you worried about getting injured at all? Because this is the Summer League, even though there's not much defense being played, but there is still a risk involved anytime you step out there on the basketball court. So are you conscious of that? Are you going out there half speed? I know you're not pushing it full throttle, even though it seems like Miles has. I mean, every time you go to a summer league game, I mean, this dude is throwing down alley-oops, windmills. You know, it's really remarkable. But at the same time, it's summer league. This isn't a game. So as I stated, you know, in our headliners, when it comes to Ben Simmons, this is a kid who is the number one overall draft pick. And prior, you know, to his rest on Wednesday, he had played in all three of the games in Vegas, and he missed a game in Utah due to cramps he had in both calves. So there's some fatigue there. So you don't want to risk your top attraction for next year. So I get why he sat out, and I have no problem with it. And I really think that the reason why Isaiah Thomas made this statement is an overlying perception in the minds of many out there when discussing Ben Simmons, that this young dude is just not mature. I think that's what added the logs to this fiery rant of Isaiah Thomas, the maturity of him, because that was a big question about Simmons and was a knock on him as to why he shouldn't have been the number one overall draft pick this year. You know, in Simmons' lone season at LSU, he averaged, what, 19.2 points, 11.8 rebounds, and 4.8 assists. What Simmons did on the court was non-debatable. The kid was one of the best players in college basketball last year. However, he was criticized because the Tigers, they failed to make the NCAA tournament after a disappointing, what, 19-14 season. Okay? Now, Simmons, he came under scrutiny for his academic standing, which was the reason why he was excluded from the Wooden Award list, which goes to the nation's top college basketball player in the nation. And his leadership skills were also questioned leading up to that award consideration. And, you know, and I remember the interview that Simmons did concerning the whole Wooden Award situation, and he went on to say, I have the quote right in front of me here. He said, Mr. Wooden was a teacher, right? It's a part of it. That's their criteria. They talk about playing so much, then they bring other stuff into it. It is what it is. I'm not fazed by it, even though it sounds like you're a bit salty about it, Ben. Quote, I just wanted to win for my team and see how far we could go. So there's no doubt, you know, when reading that quote, Simmons was bothered by it. But you have to handle the business in the classroom. And Ben didn't do that. The Wooden Award has several qualifications. Candidates must be full-time students in an accredited NCAA college or university. Check. Consideration should be given to scholastic achievement and aspirations. All candidates must have a cumulative 2.0, which isn't asking a lot, 2.0 grade point average since enrolling in their current university. I don't know what his grade point average was, so I don't know if I can check that box. Candidates must exhibit strength of character both on and off the court. Candidates should be those who contribute to the team effort. Candidates must excel both offense and defense, and candidates should be considered on their performance over the course of the entire season, pre-conference, conference, and tourney play. So that's the criteria for the Wooden Award, and it was rumored that that where Ben lacked was in the classroom. He was not getting it done academically. So he was criticized, and I think that that criticism mixed in with the fact that a lot of people out there don't believe that he's at a certain maturity standpoint, that added to that perception that led Isaiah Thomas to make his comments. I believe. But at the end of the day, when evaluating this, it's the summer league. I don't even know. Did they even have summer league when Isaiah Thomas played?
They didn't have a summer league.
Right, you know what I mean? So, yeah. I mean, just imagine if Isaiah Thomas, who was, you know, top draft pick, you know, goes out there and gets injured in the summer league. I mean, we would have an entirely different tune about the situation. So I think Isaiah Thomas is just tripping here. And, you know, we've had the conversation about, you know, old guys who played back in the day, you know, having this, you know, whenever they criticize the players of 2016, you know, we made the comment here on the show that some of them sound just old and cranky, right? But I believe that there's been a lot of validity to what many of them had to say. There's a lot of good points they brought up, and I've agreed with many of them, like, like Charles Barkley and Dominique Wilkins and those guys who have come out and made statements. But this one really, really is the epitome of sounding just old and cranky. I don't get Isaiah Thomas's comments at all. And again, the only angle I could see with here, because I try to look at everything with a non-biased eye, is the only thing, the only backing to his comments I could see as to why he decided to go this route was, of course, the maturity of Ben Simmons, which has been questioned since he's been taken as the number one overall draft pick.
Yeah, I don't think you have to be a psychologist to read into this too much. Ben Simmons obviously has had his maturity issues in the past, which irritated LSU fans such as myself. But at the same time, the kid's talent's unquestionable. Missing classes is a lot different than missing a game or even missing a practice, and sitting out a summer league game doesn't really matter whatsoever. After you've proven what you're worth in the summer league, you've gotten used to your teammates, your future teammates, the style of the NBA, there's nothing wrong with taking precautions not to get injured. And I think the point you brought up at the end of your speech was really a nice one as well, very valid, that there's this constant theme when older NBA players are talking about the current crop, and it extends outside of basketball as well. You hear, oh, the kids call on their phone. They don't even, you know, see each other face-to-face anymore. Kids don't go outside nowadays. It's all these things about this generation being soft. And whether you believe it or you don't, that's part of this. And it's the same thing in the NBA. Oh, well, a flagrant foul used to count for this much. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, we didn't used to miss practices. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, whatever. It's just the game's changed. You've got to understand that. And some of it's smarter. There's all these different conversations, but progression happens for a reason. Maybe not all of it's glamorous, but at the same time, there are players in the past who, because of injuries, were really held back in their career. Extreme examples like Pete Maravich, right. Hank Gathers, who passed away on basketball courts. That wouldn't happen anymore because of these sorts of precautions. I'm not saying Ben Simmons was at risk of that.
Right,
but you want to be sure that nothing extreme does happen to a player, especially one who's so talented, who's the future of the franchise. At the end of the day, this is a smart move by the Philadelphia 76ers to hold him back. They shouldn't be castigated for that, for trying to take precautions to make sure that their team is healthy going forward into this next season. Because let's be honest, for Philadelphia, Ben Simmons is the only hope they got.
Yeah, he is. And I think he's going to be a great player. Ben Simmons is going to be a, he's a, I mean, he can do everything on the court. So when you have, your breadwinner participating in summer league games, you are trying to make sure that in any nook and cranny, if he gets Oh my goodness, your finger's hurting? Oh, we're putting you – oh, you broke a fingernail? Oh, we're sitting you down. Any precaution you can make, they're going to take it, okay? So I didn't know where Isaiah was going with that. Folks, later on in this hour, we will, of course, update you on the Draymond Green case. Yes, attorneys have actually decided to move up his pre-trial conference to next week, and his attorney had an interesting comment. Very, very interesting comment concerning why they wanted to move up that pre-trial conference date. We'll bring that to you and so much more. You are listening to Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I tell you what, if you missed last night's Current Sports TV, you missed a treat. I got the chance to sit down with the leader, especially now that Denzel Valentine is gone to the NBA Chicago Bulls. So now he does take the reins as the leader of the Michigan State men's basketball team. His name is, of course, one of my favorite names in all of sports, Lou Rawls Tum Tum Nairn Jr. He just finished up his sophomore season with the Michigan State team, a sophomore year that was riddled with just trying to get any semblance of healthy game throughout the year. And he couldn't do that, of course, because he was riddled with plantar fasciitis in his foot. But now he is 100% healthy. I've gotten the opportunity to watch him in now two Money Brawl Pro-Am Summer League games out in Diamonddale, Michigan at Aim High, the Aim High Sports Complex. And Tum looks good. I watched him last night, and he hit a huge back-to-back huge three-pointers that propelled the green team over Team Volt. And, you know, that first step is great. He's moving. He's just healthy. He's healthy. He's 100% right now. And, of course, Tum hails from Nassau, Bahamas. And, you know, it's really, really cool just to dive into his journey to America and now as a premier player for Tom Izzo's squad. So I got the opportunity to chat with Tum this week, and we are going to play a snippet, a preview of that interview on our airwaves right now. And I first had to ask Tum about what it's like to admire this incoming freshman class, the best freshman class in the entire tenure of Tom Izzo, specifically Miles Bridges, because Bridges and Tum are actually teamed up on the very same summer league team, Team Green. And they're very close. If you go on Tum's Instagram page right now, there's many pictures of Tum and Bridges along with Josh Langford and company. So I had to ask Tum to start off what it's like to play with such an athletic talent like Mr. Miles Bridges.
It's a lot of fun, man. He's an extremely talented player, probably the most athletic player I've ever played with in my life. I thought Brandon Dawson was until I met him, but he can do it all, though. He can do it all, man. You know, if you throw it up at the rim, he's going to catch it. So that's a lot of fun being a point guard.
It's amazing. You know, just looking at some of that footage, I mean, I brought up my favorite sequence of Tuesday where, you know, an alley-oop happens on one side of the floor and they forget that Miles is on the other side of the floor, just jumps up, crams it, lands right at my feet, and I'm sitting there trying to contain myself as I shoot this to contain my excitement. Yeah. You have a story, Tom, where you were on the break with him, right? And you threw it, what, feet away from the basket, right?
I threw it way beyond the backboard. Uh-huh. And he just carried it into the rim.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I mean, it's got to be hard not becoming a fan when you're out there playing with him, right?
Kind of, sort of. I mean, the things he do just wows you. But
right.
I've seen a lot.
Right.
I've seen a lot from a lot of different players. But like I said, Miles is a special kid.
And you have to be, you know, foaming at the mouth when looking at the amount of talent you guys have coming into this upcoming Michigan State men's basketball year. I mean, Cassius Winston, Nick Ward, Bridges, as I mentioned, yourself, Alvin Ellis is still on the squad, Gavin Schilling. I mean, I could go on and on and on about the firepower you guys have. I mean, that's got to be pretty exciting, Tom.
Yeah, we have a lot of great players, man. And what makes it so special is, you know, you have a lot of different guys that can do a lot of different things. Like, for instance, Cassius is so good off ball screens and just taking his time and being patient, making right reads, and he can do it all. And then you have Miles that can do it all. Then you have Josh that is, he's a really, really good player. He got an old school kind of game, works extremely hard. All of our freshmen do. And then you have Nick Ward, who I think is really good as well in terms of in the post, getting you a bucket. Then Gavin got a lot better. Alvin can still shoot it. Still one of the best slashers I've ever played with. And then Aaron, great player. Matt McQuaid, Kyle Orange. You know, it's a lot of guys. Myself, we have a lot of weapons. And I think the biggest thing is just getting everybody to play for each other and continue to play for each other, because all those guys are great people off the court. And you know, we're just trying to build the chemistry off the court every day, so we carry on the court.
That's a great segue into my next question, Tom, because the summertime is such an important time to cultivate that relationship, especially for the young guys coming in. I want to go to actually a tweet from Miles Bridges. And you didn't see this tweet until, you haven't seen it up until now, actually. Yeah. Miles Bridges actually sent this tweet out hours before your guys' game. He compared you to the singer Akon and said, "Y'all can't tell me they ain't twins." I must say, you do look a lot like Akon. All right, Tom. I see some resemblance there, right in the eyes and the nose. All right.
Like that, man.
But you know, it's a cool relationship you share with them already.
Yeah.
I mean, how important is this time to build that relationship and chemistry?
It's really important, man. I think that's the great part of having the summer and having everybody come up and spending time with each other, just learning about each other, because we really didn't know each other until now, but the bond happened so quick and so fast. With Miles and Cassius and Josh and Nick, all really humble kids. I mean, everybody knows about them being the class, however you want to call it, one of the greatest class to come in Michigan State. We all know that, but as far as just being regular people and regular human beings, I just love being around them as just people, because you can never tell me that they don't act like they deserve anything, or, you know, so to speak, highly recruited kids. They don't act like I said, deserve anything.
No ego
at all. Mm-hmm. And I love that about them, and all of them work really, really hard.
Now, I got to ask this, Tom, with the amount of talent that's coming in this upcoming year with this is Tom Izzo's most decorated freshman class he's ever had. Are the current players, like yourself and guys like Schilling and Harris, are you guys feeling any pressure when it comes to that incoming class?
No, well, it's not pressure. It's fun, because everybody know how good they are. We know how good they are. And it's going to help our team when you're competing against great players every single day. It's going to help us. So when we compete against other great schools like Duke and Arizona and like some of the teams we're about to play this upcoming season, it's going to help us. And we got to continue to compete and do whatever it takes for us to become a better team.
Tom, we chatted before we took the air, and you told me that last summer you threw up 30,000 three-pointers.
Yeah.
You were driven to make sure that you entered your sophomore season with a stout jump shot.
Yeah.
And then life had other plans.
Yeah.
Plantar fasciitis hit you, and, you know, you limped game by game just to try and get by. I mean, how frustrating was that for you, knowing all the work you put in went in vain because of that injury?
Well, it was really, really frustrating, to be honest. I'd never dealt with anything like that in my life. But I, now looking back at it, it was good. It was in God's plan for me. It was great to happen to me. Like, you know, I didn't work out since last August. I didn't work on my game at all. Right before we went to Italy, I stopped working on my game because of the pain. And so it just kind of took everything away from me. I'm used to getting up and working out at 6 o'clock every morning. It took that away from me and just kind of helped me to realize that I can't take anything for granted. And I put in a lot of work, a lot of work every day. And I was coming in the next season saying that I was going to be a different player. But, you know, I was a better player, and I shot it pretty well coming into last year. But when I stopped working on my game, I lost confidence in myself. I lost confidence in my shot, because there's nothing wrong with my shot. It's just confidence and reps. I mean, Brent was the best shooter in the country, and he shot every day. Denzel shot 40, 45, I think. He shot every day.
Right.
So, and you see the confidence they play with. So I think for this year, I don't want to just go ahead and say that I'm going to do this or do that. I will say, if I continue to work on my game and continue to stay healthy, I will be a lot more confident in my game and a lot more confident in myself.
How do you build that confidence? What is head coach Tom Izzo telling you on a day-to-day basis to keep that confidence at a level that you're not afraid to take those shots? Because I tell you what, I watched you on Tuesday, and you weren't afraid to throw those shots up, all right, Tom?
Just tells me to keep working on my game, continue to have confidence in myself, because he wants me to. That's the thing. It may look like, to a lot of people out there, it may look like Coach Izzo doesn't want certain players taking shots. Well, if you work on it, he's going to let you shoot it. So he knows how hard I work on my shot, and he wants me to make shots. So I just think, like I said, for me, it's just now that I can stay in the gym now, just stay confident within myself and understand that I have to be able to do that to help this team get to where we want to get.
Tom, what do you want to prove to Michigan State fans out there who have watched you these past 2 years?
Well, I'm a better player than I was my freshman year and my sophomore year. I know it within myself, but I just got dealt a bad hand, I guess, last year. And as far as my game, I know who I am as far as me being a leader and bringing this team together and just who I am as a basketball player. You know, I'm never going to want to score 30 points a game or 25 a game. Mm-hmm. I just want to be able to put my teammates in positions to be successful. And if I make shots, and when you have to actually guard me, then I can be able to make plays for other people. So, you know, how they played me my freshman year and my sophomore year was backing up off me. So I didn't have much room to get by people because they were already back there. So once I make my shots, my open shots, and knock them down, and people start playing me the right way, then I can get in the lane and make plays for everybody else and make everybody else better.
Well, I'll tell you what, something that has never teetered off at all throughout your MSU career is your leadership. I mean, people were hailing you as the best leader since Mateen Cleaves. Yeah. When you came, before you even took the hardwood for the Michigan State men's basketball team. I mean, Tom, because I always believe that to be a leader, you either born with that or you don't have it.
Yeah.
Have you always been that way?
Yeah, I was born with it. Quick story, when I was in high school in Wichita, Kansas, I didn't really know who I was like that. And then one day I would come in the weight room excited. Then the next day I would, kind of stand off by myself and encourage myself. And then my high school coach got into it with me and he was like, look, you're never going to be LeBron James. You're never going to be Kobe Bryant. You have something that's special and that's your gift is your leadership. And how you're able to impose your will on people and motivate people. And ever since then, I never looked back. So every day I'm the same way, no matter what.
Gotta love that, man. And how does that make you feel when people are comparing you to, guys like Mateen Cleaves, some of the greats to ever lead this program? I mean, how does that make you feel, Tom?
It's definitely a blessing, man. I do not take that for granted because I've watched what Mateen Cleaves has done in Michigan State, and I know who he is, and we have a really, really great relationship. And I always play the 2000 championship game. I always watch that game and just look at, the celebrations and how they did it together. And, that's my biggest goal in college is to bring one back to East Lansing. And I'm going to work hard and we're going to work hard. And the coaches are working extremely hard every day to get that back. But as far as being known as one of the best leaders here, it's a blessing, man, because where I'm from, I'm the only one that's getting the chance to do it. The
right.
Only one.
You're putting the family on your back, to speak.
I have to.
There's a lot of pride in that as well. Before we get to the 12th man, Tom, I just want to rewind to March really briefly. Mm-hmm. The loss to Middle Tennessee State in the early rounds of the NCAA tournament. Spartan fans out there were watching that moment, and the basketball world in general was just completely stunned. Yeah. Can you take us back to what that locker room was like after that loss?
Man, emotional. It was really, really, really emotional. And, you know, for me, it was so much emotional for me because, you know, I knew that I would never get the chance to play with Matt, Brennan, and Denzel again, and Kobe, our seniors who have been so great to me since I've been here. Just knowing that I couldn't give them what they wanted and what they dreamed of, you know, as kids, and what we all dreamed of as a part of Michigan State basketball is winning the national championship and getting back to a Final Four. But it was a lot of emotions, man. Like, you know, I still think about it every day, but I don't let it affect how I carry on every single day. You know, it's motivation. It's a lot of motivation, but it also helps you to understand that every single day counts, every single second counts, every single possession counts, and it doesn't matter who you're playing. And I don't want to say we came into that game looking down on that team, because I'm telling you, we did not. We prepared and we prepared and we prepared. That's what makes Coach Izzo and his staff so great. It's how you can prepare for teams that we never even play. So we did do that very well, but, you know, it just wasn't our day. And I guess, you know, maybe it has something to do with somebody else on that team and part of their story. Mm-hmm. Maybe one day they'll tell their kids they played against a great Michigan State team. So, you know, in every bad situation in life, so to speak, you know, you can look at some good things. You know, everybody has blessings in this life. But I can definitely tell you we're going to take one game at a time.
Glass half full, right? Always look at the glasses half full, right?
Yeah.
Again, that was my chat with Lou Rawls, Tum Tum Nairn Jr., Michigan State guard for the MSU men's basketball team. After that section of the interview, of course, the 12th man kicked off. And if you want to check out the entire chat, including the 12th man, just simply visit video.wkar.org. And during the 12th man, you guys will get to hear about how Tum received his nickname as Tum Tum. Also, who Tum patterns his game after, what he's working on this offseason. And actually, side note here, Tum, I chatted with Tum off the air, and he told me that he shot 30,000 three-pointers in the offseason of last year. And it's really unfortunate that that went in vain because, of course, he got injured this past year. But you can check out what he's working on now during the 12th man as well. Also, and how he's ready to step up his leadership in absence of the stellar senior class that has now moved on, in Denzel Valentine, Bryn Forbes, Matt Costello, and Colby Wolinman. So catch all of that in the 12th man. And congratulations to Bryn Forbes, actually, who signed a contract with the NBA San Antonio Spurs. Per club policy, terms of the contract were not announced, but Bryn Forbes had a fantastic summer league where he averaged 11.1 points, 3 rebounds, in 25.3 minutes of 7 total games between Las Vegas and Utah in the Summer League for the Spurs. So congratulations to Bryn Forbes, and it was pretty cool to watch Denzel Valentine and Forbes go at it a few days ago. All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will put a bow on this week's Current Sports by hitting you with Reflection Friday. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Again, folks, we want to pass along the news to you all that Tom Brady, quarterback of the New England Patriots, has decided to not appeal and take this thing to the Supreme Court. He does not want to take the Deflategate case to the upper echelons of the Supreme Court. So he's basically waving the white flag. And I want to read a tweet here. This is coming from Tom Lydon, who is a former reporter in Detroit, Michigan. Tom, a friend of mine in the business, he's now in Boston as a sports reporter and anchor out there. Tom, of course, with him being in Boston, has covered the Patriots for the last 2 years now. And he retweeted Tom Brady's statement on giving up the Deflategate fight. This is what Tom had to say. Quote, "I'm very grateful for the overwhelming support I've received from Mr. Kraft, the Kraft family, Coach Belichick, my coaches and teammates, the NFLPA, my agents, my loving family, and most of all our fans. It has been a challenging 18 months, and I have made the difficult decision to no longer proceed with the legal process. I'm going to work hard to be the best player I can be for the Patriots, and I look forward to having the opportunity to return to the field this fall." So Tom Brady will serve a 4-game suspension for the Deflategate case. Not shocking here, Isaac. Not shocking. I think we all saw this coming after the court ruling earlier this week that Roger Goodell acted within his power to hand down the suspension. The problem here is not about the suspension. The problem here is that Roger Goodell has way too much power. Should Tom Brady be suspended for the first 4 games? Not at all. And I really believe that when it comes to the New England Patriots, again, this is the most prepared team on a week-to-week basis, not just in football, but I think in all of sports. Bill Belichick knows what he's doing, and he's going to prepare now. I bet you he's preparing right now to combat the absence of Tom Brady to make sure that his team is extra ready to start the year. At worst, I think the Patriots will be lucky to come out of this thing. At worst, I think the Patriots will come out of this thing 2-2. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if they went all four or if they went 3-1, okay? They're not losing all four here, okay? This is the Patriots we're talking about. So with that being said, you know, was it the right ruling here? No. But at the same time, it's about the system rather than the 4-game suspension.
Well, I think it was the right ruling from the courts themselves. I thought there was nothing illegal about what the NFL did. It's just simply that the power structure that's developed under the contracts and the constitution of the league as a whole is entirely unbalanced in favor of the commissioner, Roger Goodell. Now, I'm totally with you. As far as the grand implications of this thing, nah. I mean, the Patriots at worst come out of this 2-2. I was thinking that exact same thing myself. Jimmy Garoppolo, probably similar to Matt Cassell when he had to start the entire season when Brady was injured. They went 9-7 that season. So the Patriots will be all right. Bill Belichick's the greatest coach in the world, as much as I hate the guy just because he doesn't seem like a pleasant person. Mm-hmm. But the thing with me is, Tom Brady, I'm not sure if he should have just let it go the first time and taken the 1-game suspension and not made a big deal about it so that nobody knew what Deflategate was, so that nobody started calling it Deflategate, or whether he did the right thing riding this out till the end. Because at the end of the day, I chuckled to myself when we were bringing this back up because it's Deflategate. We are talking about deflated football.
Right. And this story just seems like it would never die. Thank goodness. It's dead now.
Knock on wood, right?
But, and it goes back to that old Mark D'Antonio comment. You know, pride comes before the fall. You know, pride is what got Tom Brady a 4-game suspension. He wanted to fight this thing and he wanted to send a message that, hey, you're not just going to just bully the system here, Roger, but the system allows Roger Goodell to do what he does.
He's got a bully pulpit. It works.
It does. Yeah, without a doubt. All right, 5 minutes left here in the show. We will close out this show like we always do each and every Friday with Reflection Friday as we reflect on the week that has been here on the show and beyond. All right, I just want to reflect a bit on the biggest story here in mid-Michigan, in the Lansing area, this entire week. Of course, Draymond Green and this old Jermaine Edmondson punch, slap, whatever you want to call it. It's been just crazy watching this story unfold. And now it's being said that Green's attorney wanted to push up the pretrial conference to next week. That has been approved. And the reason why is because of the Olympics that Draymond Green will be participating in out in Rio de Janeiro. He will be leaving soon for that. So that's been moved up to next week. And in the statement, though, there's an interesting quote that's included in this. Quote, publicity surrounding the arrest may affect his performance in the games, end quote. I'm not buying that. I think that the only reason that was included in the wordage of why they wanted to move this up is just that. You know, that was included so that they could convince the court to move that date up. But it's been crazy. I mean, Jermaine Edmondson, you know, he would have been a senior for the Michigan State football team. This incident happens, and he all of a sudden leaves the squad and decides to transfer somewhere else. He decides to press charges at first, then says, never mind, and then changes his mind this week. And, you know, you look at the police report, which came out this week, and there are so many just – it's got a lot of holes. It's like Swiss cheese. There's a lot of holes in this report that just don't make sense to me. But it's been unbelievable. I mean, I was watching local news, Isaac, and it was the lead story on both Channel 6 and Channel 10 for about, you know, for a day I saw. I mean, this has been crazy and has been ridiculously over-publicized. So, in essence, it's giving us something to talk about. But justly so? No.
Yeah, I'm with you there. But my reflection has to be the Tour de France, which is, of course, happening for the God knows how many times. But Andrew Yates, I'm not sure if you've caught it. There's all sorts of chaos. It's a soap opera when it's the Tour de France. And we've had a few incidents this past year of spectators getting involved, actually crashing some of the riders. One time at the most untimely moment in Tour de France history, if you ask me, a spectator actually leant on a banister that was hanging above the tour and it fell on a rider. The rider would have captured the yellow jersey had it not. Instead, he crashed. He still wears the white jersey for young rider. His name's Andrew Yates, but achieving the yellow jersey, holding it for one day, is all most cyclists ever can aspire to. Mm-hmm. That's the dream, not winning, just holding it. Right. And this guy didn't get it because of that. Fans are stupid. Come on, guys, be smart.
I like that message, Isaac. And I'm a bit mad at the Tour de France, though, because I had an eight-game win streak on my ESPN Streak for Cash. And this morning, I saw at 3:45 a.m., what will be the stage winner's margin of victory? 8 seconds or more or 7 seconds or less? I chose 7 seconds or less.
Yeah, that's stupid. It's a mountain stage.
Do I know that? It's not like
no,
I'm glued to my...
No, why'd you vote on it?
Because 85% of the nation was voting on 7 seconds or less, and I just joined the party. So, yeah.